Now, tonight we are back again with Lusani Nechitomboni, a husband, a father, a servant of the Lord, and a community member, a friend, and a brother. Good evening, Doc.
Good evening, Zibuse. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Can't complain.
Doesn't help.
How's the week been?
It's been a bit, it's a mix. Mm. A bit hectic, a bit relaxed, yeah. But generally very good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, friend, if you are wondering, Lusani is now here in studio for the third installment of Biblical Leadership. And tonight, he is going to share with us what we will be talking about. In the first week, we introduced the topic. We laid some groundwork. And then last week, we then touched on integrity, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, their story. This week, what are we talking about?
This week, we're going to talk about delegation.
Delegation.
And we're going to look at the story of Moses and his relationship with his father-in-law, Jethro. So that will be the basis on which we're going to talk about the whole concept of delegation.
Let's get into it. So, yeah, take us through that.
All
delegation.
Right. I think this is one of the critical concepts that unfortunately in some instances we don't really engage with it very well, and sometimes you find that those of us in positions of authority, we don't even want to hear about it because we get a sense that when you delegate, you're losing a lot of authority. But in simple terms, delegation really is a process of transferring task or responsibility and authority from one person to the other. In simple terms, that is really what delegation is all about.
So you transfer, but you still retain ownership.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think if I can just take it further, when you're delegated to do something, you've got a very clear mandate of what you're expected to do. And in some instances, unfortunately, that delegation can be taken away in organizations. Maybe just to best illustrate this point, in my previous life, I was a spokesperson for the universities that I worked for. In terms of policy, the vice chancellor of a university is the spokesperson. But you as head of communications and marketing, you are delegated the responsibility of being a spokesperson. So when you have that position, it can be taken away anytime. But also what is important is that when you have that position, you don't communicate your own thoughts or views. Behind the scenes, when the messages are being crafted, you can contribute. But ultimately, you communicate the position of the institution you represent. And that is really in broad terms what delegation is all about. Now, because we're talking about biblical leadership and the concept of delegation in the context of the Bible, we have to now look at it and say, where does it all start? And I want to, if you can indulge me, to take you back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, where it says, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on earth." That's God giving the delegation. And if you look at the task at hand, it's very clear. Be fruitful, multiply, fill, subdue, have dominion.
So those are not optional. It is what has been delegated to.
Yes, and it's very clear. There are no ambiguities there. If you go to Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, which we call the Great Commission, it says, "Go, make disciples, baptize, teach." The delegation is clear, no ambiguities once again. Now, if you look at that, and I want us to look at these two examples I've given as the backdrop for our discussion around delegation, it starts from God. It's a mandate we get from God. And that's how we need to look at delegation. Even when you go to the story of Moses and Jethro, let's have this background as one something that will guide us in our discussions. But I must also say that delegation, as I said earlier on, a lot of people don't like it. We don't want to delegate because of our pride. I'm the only one who can do it. And therefore, I'll keep it to myself and it makes me feel important. Sometimes we look at it and we're like, I'm so selfish. We don't call it selfishness. But you must look at me. I must be important. If I'm the only one who can do this, so all of you will have to fuss around me, beg me sometimes. I'm on leave, but you have to call me and beg me to do certain things. But also there's fear and insecurity. people who are in position of power, some of them, let's use an example of a church. Zubusa, all of a sudden you are a called minister, but you have a lot of young people who have potential, who have studied theology, the real up-and-coming young ministers. But you don't dare delegate responsibilities to them because, well, if I give them responsibilities when I'm away, they might preach better than me. And who knows, people might like them. And when they like them, what will happen? Maybe they will consider forming a splinter church and I will lose the size of the church that I have. Therefore, I'm going to call a minister from somewhere else, even if I have potential ministers in the church. I'm just using a church as an example.
So a lot of the examples that you are giving, they have something in common. It's about the I. It's about me. Therefore, are you then saying to us that delegation has to remove the I?
Yes.
In there, and where then does the focus go?
You see, the first thing that you need to look at is that it's not about you. If, for example, we use the example of a minister in a church, it's not about you, it's about God. It's about the work that God has given us to do. But when you refuse to delegate because you are afraid, you have insecurities, it's no longer about God, but it's about the I, you. You are making yourself the center of everything that happens in that particular church, even in organizations. And I'm going to show you some of the things, some of the challenges that creates. And because organizations, you are one person. In an organization, you can only do so much. In a church, you have 1,000 people, and you think you can manage that on your own as a minister? And then you subdue all those young, up-and-coming ministers, and then rather you call me from another church which nobody knows because you don't want to expose the youngsters that are there? I think that is a problem. Now, in our introduction, I talked about the story of Jethro, the father-in-law to Moses. And I think this, for me, although there are other scriptures that really explain the issue of delegation, these, I thought, at a practical everyday life, gives us at least some kind of a biblical framework, again, linked to the introduction we've given, to say, why is this important? Here's Moses, who's leading, I don't know how many people, a lot of people in the wilderness. All of them have all sorts of problems. And guess who was supposed to be the savior and providing all solutions? It was going to be who? Moses. He's one person. Then Jethro, his father-in-law, comes and he observed him, just checking this young man. And he was telling him, this is what God has done for us. And the old man says, good shot. You really are doing a great shot. Good work. We're really proud of what you're doing. I can imagine a father-in-law looking at his son-in-law with pride. Then he observes Moses working from sunrise to sunset. All of the people coming to him with all sorts of problems, issues, big and small. He's supposed to adjudicate, he's supposed to advise, he's supposed to give direction. Call him aside and say, I can only imagine, maybe they were sitting somewhere in a secluded space and say, Moses, you're doing a good job, but what you're doing is not good for you and the people that you're leading. You ask yourself, why? They all come to me. That was his response. They all come to me and they want a solution and I'm able to provide. He said, one, you are one person. You'll exhaust yourself. Two, they're going to stand there for the whole day waiting for their turn. It's not good for them either. It's not efficient. Good intentioned as it is, but it's not efficient. And he then gave him something that some theologians call the Jethro principle, which really deals with the art of delegation. And I found something here that I would want to really share, maybe before I talk about briefly about the Jethro principle.
Yes, please.
In Exodus 19, Jethro said, now obey my voice. I will give you advice and God be with you. He's not saying, I'm going to suggest. He's saying, obey my voice. Moses could have said, but I talk to God directly. Who are you? You're just my father-in-law. But another, already it talks about the relationship.
Another aspect that's coming in now is humility.
Exactly.
And obedience.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I think, again, the nature of the relationship, that you can read between the lines to say there was some kind of a relationship here. But you're right. Moses was very humble to accept the old man's guidance. Being the Moses, this great leader that he is, he accepted the guidance from the old man.
I think what is very powerful about Moses listening to Jethro is the fact that Moses spoke to God himself. And the Bible even tells us that Moses spoke with God as a man speaks to his friend, just like you and I are speaking, here conversing with each other.
Yes.
And then Jethro comes, he says, obey my voice.
Exactly.
And then Moses says, okay, what do you have to say? Imagine the humility there. But also, how many leaders in every other sphere, if you were speaking to the most powerful person and a relatively lesser powerful person comes and then says, obey my voice, listen to me, I'm going to tell you something, they wouldn't want to listen.
Oh, who are you?
And I'm learning a lot from this.
And I think if you look at it, when you read it going down, it says Moses did everything that Jethro told him to do. That level of humility is something great, but also it talks about the nature of the relationship they had. And I think this for me was very critical. And the lessons that, or the advice that Jethro gave to Moses was quite pointed. He said, put together some kind of, today we're going to call it a manual, and make sure that people know exactly what they're supposed to do. Ensure that you appoint people as officials to have oversight over these people. Why? We'll come to that. The second thing he said, what kind of character should these people have? He said, they must be trustworthy, hate a bribe, ding, ding, rings a bell today, hate a bribe, fear God, wise, understanding, experienced. Then they will have to look at the manual or the guideline that you have provided and use it as a guideline, as a framework in how they deal with all the challenges that come to them. And then he said, all these minor thing problems, they must deal with them. When they are stuck, they will then escalate to Moses. That is a principle, whether you are a Christian or not, this is a principle which is applicable in whatever sector you find yourself in. Delegate.
I think most leaders, managers, people with authority in various spaces, the mistake they make is they delegate, but they do not give a manual, and they do not necessarily assess the character and just the integrity of the person.
Yes. You see, also, if you delegate something to the next person, it will be irresponsible for you to give to someone who you know does not have the capacity to do that. Because in some instances, unfortunately, people do this out of malice. They look at Zibu and say, you can't do this, but I'm going to give it to him just to expose him or to make a point. And that for me is really malicious. That is not really delegation the biblical way. And if you look at what Jethro advised Moses, he says, give them manual, some kind of an operating standard, because that gives them an indication of what they must actually do. But if you say to them, do this, but you don't give them an indication of what is expected of them, you are setting them up for failure. And I think for me, that is something that we must never, ever do, because that is not delegation. That is not leadership. That is not biblical.
That is very powerful. I'm also learning, just as an individual, and I can imagine what the person listening to the other side of this conversation is just benefiting from all of this. Now, how can we then implement this Jethro principle in a real life situation for somebody who says, okay, I may take my Friday to just plan out, but on Monday I want to then implement this? How can they use that?
There are a couple of things that I believe in terms of application we can take. Number one, when you delegate, you are giving a certain degree of authority. What kind of authority are you giving to who? Two, you are giving them a task, say, do this particular activity. And there has to be clarity. When this activity is completed, what do I expect? You might say, I'm giving you 10 rand. I want it to be multiplied to 20 rand. There's clarity in terms of the level of expectation and what you really want the next person to do. There has to be clarity of instruction. And the other thing is that there has to be support. Empower this person. If you say to a person, I want you to do a desktop research on a particular topic. You don't give them a laptop. You don't give them data. What are you saying? So make sure that when you delegate, you give them the requisite support to make sure that they succeed. That's, for me, at the first level, the level of authority, clarity of the instruction that you are giving to them. But there are certain things that I would say we must not do. I think I briefly touched on it. Don't do it as a way of getting out of it. I don't like this. I'm lazy. You don't say, you don't call it lazy. I'm delegating. But you know deep down you're lazy. Or this is beneath me. Or I want to trap you. Don't do it because of malicious intent. Do it as something that you say, I want to make sure that my team is able to operate with or without me. The one thing that is very key, and I think this is applicable to both the person who's delegating and those who's being delegated to, the level of humility. I think Moses, as you picked up earlier, was demonstrated the level of humility that really is very critical in this aspect. And execute, implement this. It says here in Exodus that Moses went ahead and implemented everything that Jethro advised. You then look at it and say, but why should I do all this and why should I delegate? And back to your question again. If you delegate, you'll be able to do more with less. I always make this example. If you are a manager director, you have 10 people who report to you, and you still sit at 10 o'clock, not editing or quality assuring reports, writing reports, what are you doing? You'll exhaust yourself like Moses was. You won't be productive. Your team will be demotivated because they're not getting something that will maybe stretch them out of their comfort zone. Your impact will be minimal because you'll take forever doing one thing. And I think that for me is a problem. There is something that for me I also feel is very critical when it comes to delegation. And I think this is what Jethro was trying to achieve here. Sustainability was basically saying, Moses, this is not sustainable. If you drop and die, and you haven't empowered people to lead in the event that you're not there, this thing will fall through. It will not succeed. But also what is critical in any organization, when you delegate, you're making room for succession planning. You're basically saying that it's not about me, back to what we were saying earlier on. It's not just about me. This organization does not revolve around me. Even if I'm not there, it can continue because I've delegated, I've empowered, I've provided support, I've mentored, and there's clarity in terms of what is expected of all of us. So if we do that, all organizations, especially in our church setup, will be very successful.
Yeah. I'm learning a lot, and I'm thinking, how powerful would it be if we all then stop telling the time and start building clocks? Because this is essentially what it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
We stop telling time, and isn't us as the leaders trying to always do the operational work.
Mm-hmm.
But then we then start building the clocks that will tell the time.
Yes.
And eventually empower those who are building, who are telling the time, to start building the clocks and pass that on.
And what you're saying is very right. Because and that goes to creating an environment which will ensure sustainability of your organization. If you are a leader, And the minute you leave that space, the whole organization collapses. Then you have failed leadership 101. You haven't delegated. You haven't created an environment which ensures sustainability of your organization. You haven't made provision for succession planning. And therefore, you are not going to succeed. Delegation for me is something that will enable you to do more with less. It will make provision for sustainability of any organization for that matter. I would say even with the family, that is something that really we need to do and delegate to our children, so that one day when you're no longer there, life goes on. They take the baton and move on.
I love taking the baton and moving on, because I think, I can't remember who loves to say this, that I want to work myself out of a position. And that's essentially what we need to do.
Yeah.
As whenever you get appointed to a position, you think, yeah, it's you.
Just
no, remember now.
No, it's true.
You know that you're working yourself out of a job.
When you're not in the office, they must not miss you. Life must go on. And I think for me, that is a measure of true biblical leadership. We must not even see you. But we know things, life goes on. The organization continues to operate with or without you. And once you reach that stage, I do believe that you will have implemented the whole principle of delegation in a much more effective and efficient manner going forward.
Thank you, Doc, for that, your wealth of wisdom that you've just passed on. And I hope you, friend on the other side of this, wherever you are listening. And you are taking notes, and this is really, truly empowering you to take it forward. I would like us to close with the following scripture, which then resonates deeply with what has been shared tonight around biblical leadership, and in particular the Jethro principle. It's from Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 to 28. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for a ransom for many." Friend, this is what Christian or biblical leadership was about: being the lesser one and being the servant so that others can be great.